Well, we heard a little bit of Jesus' genealogy, so I thought I'd share a little with you. My grandfather on my mother's side, his name is James Earl Benton, and his mother was Maud Davis Benton, and my grandfather, we call him Pawpaw. He used to talk about Maud all the time. I never met her, but I knew about her. And he would tell me about her, especially whenever we ate fried chicken or ribs, because I always like to chew it all, to get every little bite off of the bone, especially with ribs. I love ribs. And so he would watch me eat the ribs, and he said, "Oh, you just remind me of my mom." And she would make sure that everybody ate all of the meat on the bone. And if you didn't eat it, she'd take your bone and she'd eat the rest of the meat, because she didn't want any of it to go to waste. And he also liked to tell me about how she helped them through the Depression. You know, when the Depression hit, my grandfather's family was actually pretty well-to-do. They had a big house, and they owned a couple other houses that my great-grandfather was fixing up. And so when the stock market crashed, they were left with a lot of debts. And they sold off those other houses, or some of them didn't sell, and they were left with more debts. And so he went back to Kentucky to try and get some more money, and my grandmother was left alone with two little boys. And so they opened up their home. There were other travelers, other dads that had left their families looking for work. And so they housed them, and my grandfather told me that every day Maud made lunch, and she made enough soup and lunch to feed the whole town or to feed anyone that came by. And he liked to think about his dad at those times and think about how these people had families too. And he also told me about the different things that she did for him. And when I think about her, her story inspires me. I think about all that they lived through, and it makes me think in difficult times. You know, she was my great-grandmother. That same blood runs through my veins. She was so resilient. Maybe I have that resiliency inside of me. I can get through it too. These are the stories that matter. There are people who inspire us and remind us about the resiliency in our own blood. They made it, and we can make it too. And when we include God and faith in that story, we remember that there is a force at work throughout the world, throughout our lives, throughout the galaxy. God brought them through the Depression, the war, a pandemic of their own. God will deliver us too. We call this gospel by the name of one of the disciples, Matthew. And we know he was a tax collector, and becoming a disciple meant embracing a tremendous life change. Instead of taking money from the poor and his neighbors of equal standing, he began eating with outcasts and challenging political authorities beside Jesus. Many scholars think that the text holds clues to say that the author must have been writing in the 80s. That's the first 80s, when Christian, and at that time, Christian Jews were being kicked out of their Jewish communities. The Jewish religion experienced a period of time where they were purifying the church after the Romans destroyed the temple in 70. They began rebuilding the structures of their rituals in the home and the synagogue, their congregation. And they were redefining what they believed about God and who God is. In the process, some Christians ended up without a home, without a family. And so their Christian brothers and sisters became a family. And this genealogy was their genealogy, their family story. So writing the gospel with a genealogy that went back through Jewish history was actually pretty bold and courageous. This wasn't just for historical record. The genealogy stated is a confession of faith written by a Greek-speaking Jewish Christian who was being expelled from his family because he believed in Jesus. He was saying, "We believe and know to be fact that the one whom we call Jesus was part of a bloodline that could be traced back to David and back to Abraham. Descending from Abraham marked God's promise to further his descendants as a blessing for all peoples. David is important because God promised to continue the kingdom of Israel through the house of David. But Matthew doesn't stop there. He goes through all of the names. Now, we could do a whole Sunday school or preaching series learning about each of the people on this list. And if you're interested in that, Raymond E. Brown does a fascinating job by looking through this in his commentary on the infancy narratives of Matthew and Luke. But today, I want to remind you of the resilient women in this line of men. Many of these women were not born Jewish, but believed in the faithfulness of God through word and action. We hear about Tamar and Rahab, both known to have been prostitutes at one point in their life. But they also acted out of faith. And so no matter what someone's past is, when you hear this story, you know that God can still work through your life. We hear about Ruth, who had so much grief, surrounded by grief in her life. And yet God brought new life through her, a woman who wasn't Jewish. God continued the line through Ruth. And then Bathsheba, even though she's not named, if you know more about her story with David, you know that when it reads that King David begat Solomon through the woman who was Uriah's wife, you know that that doesn't point out her sin. It points out David's. And that in this story of so much complication, with sin and grief, loss, God still found a way. I wonder, what stories do you tell? Matthew, or the person who claimed the name of Matthew, named these women as part of Jesus' story of his own. This part of his story, this part of their story as early Christians, and then now as part of our story as followers of Jesus. Generations from now, how will you be remembered? Generations from now, what do you want your children and grandchildren, your neighbors and nephews and nieces, your students, what do you want them to remember? What do you want them to believe about who God is? Their faith relies on our boldness and courage to tell our stories of faith. We can't tell them if we don't start by telling our stories to ourselves, remembering our own stories, reminding ourselves where we have been and how God has brought us through the valleys and the meadows. So may this Advent be a time to remember the story of Jesus and remember the story of God coming into your life as the great Emmanuel, God with us. For God has room for every story, even mine, even yours. May we share our stories together. Amen.